Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. I'm going to do a brief monologue, and then we're going to get right into the subject today. I would call this an emergency broadcast after we have all had the privilege of watching and tuning in and listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Death, as I've come to call him, as he stood on the Fifth, took the Fifth Amendment 111 times. If you watch that broadcast, if you watch that fiasco, if you watch that circus, I'm inviting you to call in today. 904-831-0917. After a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines and invite you to call in. Love to hear from you. If you watch the broadcast, if you watch that circus with Sir Anthony and Dr. Death Fauci, 111 times standing on the Fifth. Does he have the right to stand on the Fifth after being pardoned by Sleepy Joe, Auto Pen Biden? Is that a legal stand? Will that hold? Should there be further prosecution? Do we believe that we have all of the answers yet? Those are questions that I want to ask. We have Dr. Reed Sheftall that will be with us today. We want to peel the onion a little more. I'm calling today's issue Fauci Fraud and Futility. Fauci Fraud and Futility. We're watching the fraud that was presented. We're listening to Fauci and his standing on the Fifth. Is it futile to try to go any further with the prosecutorial trek that we hope that we can get on to finally get to the, if you please, the justice in all of this? But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says, "I am truth," and John 14:6. And then you find in Psalms 117:2, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So how long is forever? It is forever. I like that understanding. You've heard me say before, and I'll say again, that's a soft pillar to place your head on, knowing that the truth of the Lord endures forever. We don't have to worry about an update of the Bible. We don't have to worry about a modern revision of the Bible or any reverse slandered version of the Bible, as I call it. We just stick to what the Word of God says. That's the truth book. But ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing that just as who was it? George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're in that era today where there is major disdain for the truth tellers standing on the truth of what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a frightening thing to understand that some of the latest research and surveys shows that 55% of the millennials believe there's no such thing as absolute truth. Their version, according to the survey on that, says, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." Now, if you watch the fiasco circus with Dr. Death Fauci being interviewed with the Senate hearing with Senator Hawley and with Senator Johnson and others, and some of the questions I asked and some of the responses that he gave a standing on the Fifth answer, you'll understand why we talk about the need for truth. is getting to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental facts of truth. But when you understand that so many of our generation today, the younger generation in particular, does not believe in absolute truth, it makes it difficult then. I've used the term, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. It's almost an impossibility, and yet that takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, I like to default to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus, and by the way, just for your edification, a lot of things he said theologically, doctrinally, biblically that he and I would disagree on, but he was in the 15th century, probably that's the enlightenment that they had at that time. But the bottom line is his position on truth. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, when Jan Hus was being burned at the stake, his last final words, truth shall prevail. And may I remind you today, that's my position, truth shall prevail. Even with the false, phony, fake responses from Sir Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, in the hearings, the truth shall prevail. It is my prayer that the good guys, the ones that are seeking answers, will hang in there and continue to preserve truth, dig a little deeper until the final facts are revealed in relationship to what happened during the COVID years and previous to COVID-19. Dr. Sheftall and I will be talking about today, when did all of this originate? Did the gain of function start with the COVID-19? Was Dr. Fauci involved in further nefarious activities before COVID-19? What did he do? Why did he do it? What was his experience? Did he have remuneration from the standpoint of finances that authorized him or encouraged him to do those things? Those are some of the things we'll investigate and talk about today. Dr. Sheftall will be talking about also some of the Democrat responses and answers and questions during the hearing. We're going to focus on the hearing and some of the background things that we need to know that brought it to the forefront with this recent hearing. I commend Rand Paul and I commend the other senators, the good guys, the ones that are looking for answers. I commend them for doing what they've done. I take a stand in a position. We may not have gotten all of the answers now. By his standing on the 5th, I believe we got all of the answers without him having to speak anything about it. I believe we know the truth. I believe we have the answers. So my question is, my challenge today, what are your thoughts? What are your opinions as far as you're listening to it, you're watching it? Was it good? Was it futile? Is it hopeful? Is there a possibility of there being, how would you say, some prosecutorial future in what we're finding? And I know a lot of you will say, well, look at James Comey, look at others, and how we've talked about it, rattled the cages, rattled the sabers, and they never went to jail. Hillary Clinton never went to prison. Multitudes of others. We're going to focus today on Sir Anthony, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Death, and what he's done. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, how do I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier, 165-foot flagpole, and atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Death, and the Senate interviews recently appears to produce zero, nothing. Looks like circus, as some have called it. In fact, I read one article said it was just a circus. Some feel it was a circus. According to the Marxist media, it was a nothing burger. According to the Marxist media, the Republicans and Donald Trump is all at fault. Now, I don't know how you come to that with that equation, how you come with that summation and answer that it's Trump's fault, that it is the Republicans' fault, that Anthony Dr. Death Fauci is not guilty of anything, and he's being persecuted and prosecuted and interrogated for no reason at all. That's the mindset of the Socialist Marxist Communist Democrat Party. That's the mindset of the Marxist media today. But as we look at it, may I say to you, I believe it was simply this. There was the deflection, the denial, and the distraction from the facts. Perhaps you counted Sir Anthony Fauci's number of times he said that he's going to stand on the 5th. Did you count those? 111 times. 111 times he said he was going to take the 5th. From the surface, many conservatives, many Christians, many patriots today are thinking, well, even what we see and what is taking place, the real facts, the real truth, just how Americans suffered. Over 1 million Americans died. Some 25 to 30 million globally died as a result of the COVID itself, as a result of the COVID death jab, etc., etc. Over 1 million. Millions wide died. Millions still are suffering the side effects of the COVID death jab. Millions today are looking to find some way to survive without depending on Big Pharma the rest of their lives. Thousands, ladies and gentlemen, during the course of the lockdown, committed suicide. That's rarely talked about, rarely covered. Thousands feeling hopeless, desperate, loss of a job because their plants, their companies had shut down, loss of income and felt responsible for the families and could do nothing and took their lives. Rarely, in fact, over the past five or six years, I've heard probably two or three, even conservatives, that spoken about that cost of life. Billions of costs because of the shutdown. Churches were shut down. Pastors, at least two of them, prosecuted, one in Florida, one in California, prosecuted, persecuted. One spent 24 hours in jail simply for having his church doors open. And yet, I find it fascinating. I find it absolutely frustrating. I find it a sense of desperation where we have such silence from the Christian, conservative, patriot community in America. We see this has happened, and I am not seeing a whole lot that's being done to prevent that from taking place in the future. I'm looking at a headline that says, Anthony Fauci basks, that's B-A-S-K-S, in media attention in the unearthed diaries. It says, Fauci says, I'm almost famous, Fauci said. Let me read one paragraph of this. Dr. Anthony Fauci raised eyebrows over the weekend for his recently released pandemic era diaries, some of which included reflections of his own newfound fame, his interactions with influential media figures, and a picture of a prayer necklace featuring him as the saint. Released Saturday, Senator Ron Paul, ahead of Fauci's scheduled testimony before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee this week. The thousands of pages, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, his diary included 1,141 pages that they have revealed. And it's just outstanding in its revelation of Fauci's inner thoughts, his, what he felt about himself, what he felt about the people, and what he felt about the job that he was doing, and his fame. And may I just tack on something that's not in his fortune, because one of the senators mentioned the fact of the millions that he had made in profits as a result of the death, the desperation, the disease, and the dying of citizens in America and those around the globe. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're going today. That's what we want to talk about. And so I encourage you to call in 904-831-0917. Dr. Sheftall, I'm thankful that you've taken time out of your busy schedule. Both of us agreed that I believe this is the time we need to do an update on what we see happening with what you and I have determined to call an emergency conversation about this. Dr. Sheftall, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little preliminary introduction of Dr. Sheftall. Some have heard him before. Some have even bought and read his books. His third book has just come out on the market where he is revealing the facts, the truth behind the scenes of research and development in the study and the writing and the publication on the subject of COVID-19. Is it real? Was it phony? Who was the villains? He's covered all of that in the three of his books. The three books, Refuting COVID Lies, naming the COVID actors in it, including the Dr. Death, Dr. Fauci, and what he's done. Dr. Shevtal, thank you for being with us. Take a few minutes, and I know this might sound redundant, but take a few minutes to tell our audience something about you, why you're qualified, what makes you think you're qualified to talk about this subject and to write and research and publish 3 books on the subject. Speak to that for just a moment for our listeners.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. I was a physics major at MIT, and I'm a heart surgeon, and before that I finished residency and so forth in plastic and reconstructive surgery. This is all after I did general surgery, so I've been through it 3 times. I've written 3 books on this subject. The first book I wrote was called Heroes and Villains. The first book that I wrote on this subject was called Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of Lists, in which I listed actual people and even provided their picture under categories such as the male who created the most death and destruction. And of course, number one on the list was Anthony Fauci. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote several paragraphs below that to explain why he was ranked number one. The number one lady that caused the most death and destruction was Deborah Birx, because of her pressuring and really tricking Trump into doing the lockdowns, mm-hmm. which caused death and destruction way beyond what anyone even can conceive of.
Let me jump in for a moment. She was on the television last night on one of the channels where she was being interviewed, and it's all smiles and all fluff and everything's okay,
yes.
And that she felt that Dr. Fauci had been mistreated and not given the right opportunity, that he had done nothing wrong, and she was so concerned about the, she mentioned 3, 4, 5 times, the future pandemic and what we need to do so that this won't happen again. I just wanted to jump in and say that.
Yeah, she's just deflecting people's attention to something that's going to happen in the future.
Yes.
But this is so significant what occurred here. This needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, or people are going to do it again and again and again. We've had this done dozens of times since 1900, and there weren't any pandemics. They were all fake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to get back to, you mentioned that some people had committed suicide, that were locked down and not allowed to go to church and so forth, and yet they allowed the Black Lives Matter protests to occur.
Yes.
So how does the virus know not to jump from person to person during the Black Lives Matter protests, but won't let people gather for church?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty smart for a dead virus, isn't it?
That's right.
Good Lord. So that kind of... hypocrisy was really rearing its ugly head during the COVID.
It's baffling.
Anything they wanted to allow to happen was allowed to happen, and anything they didn't want to allow to happen was blocked with the reason that it was too easy for the virus to spread. Mm-hmm. Isn't that ridiculous? And they allowed all those riots to occur with the George Floyd thing and all the funerals for George Floyd. Right, and
yes.
tried to turn him into some kind of hero. He was a horrible person. He held a gun to a pregnant woman's tummy,
mm-hmm.
while his friends robbed her house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. So anyway, just to continue, I've written 2 books beyond Heroes and Villains, which all these books you can get on Amazon and here at the parish, right, Pastor?
Right.
Okay.
We have them. Let's throw that in. Go to conservative.edu, conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, and we've got all 3 of Dr. Shevtal's books on the shelf and the bookstore online. Be delighted to have you order. I believe everybody needs to get the book. Everybody needs to read it. I'm sure we're talking to people today. You say, well, you're talking about issues and things that I've never read, don't understand, can't fathom. I believe that people need to be enlightened as to the truth behind what we're talking about. And hold your thought for a minute, Dr. Shevtal. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Good morning. I tell you what, he needs to be not prosecuted, but killed. They need to bring the death penalty back.
Well, I think we'll go through the process first. I think we need he needs to be caught in what he's done. This is the reason he's taking the 5th. I believe the next step is the senators need to refer that to the DOJ for prosecution based on what Senator Hawley said. I believe that he has voided his pardon,
immunity.
His immunity through the pardon by taking the fifth. I don't believe that fifth is afforded to him once he's been given a blanket pardon, yet he's trying that. So I think all of that, all of those things needs to be searched out, worked through, prosecuted through the DOJ, going through a court and a trial. Now, my fear is, Kenneth, that we have a limited amount of time. Hear me with what I'm saying. If we do not do all of these things now during the Trump administration, it will never get done. If we fail to win the November 3rd midterm election, all that we see here and talk about today is null and void. It will not go one iota further than it is at the present time. It will take a strong Republican, conservative, patriotic vantage point and control to be able to do anything in the prosecutorial realm. In fact, Kenneth, I listened to one former assistant in the DOJ under the previous Trump administration, his first administration. His name was Whitaker, I believe was the last name, forgotten the first name. But he said there's no way that Fauci will ever be found guilty in a court of law. Now, I don't know what his premise is, don't know what the promulgating factor for the foundation for that statement would be, but that was his dogmatic statement. I pray that he's wrong, but the bottom line is, you're right, there needs to be some prosecutorial things taking place, but I pray that Christians, conservatives, Christians, and patriots will see the need to vote, to vet the candidates, to vote, and make sure that the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat Party does not take control in November. All that we're saying, all that we're doing, is for naught if we fail to vote and have a structure in our House and Senate where we have some control over the prosecutorial things that will take place. So, Kenneth, brother, it demands our prayer, demands the focus of Christians, conservatives, and patriots. So thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall today. He has a preeminent background in what we're talking about. He has a handle on it, and this is the reason we're going to him, is what I'm calling an emergency conversation after listening to and watching the fiasco with 111 times saying, I stand on the Fifth Amendment. Dr. Sheftall, continue your thoughts on that. We're thinking about what we've seen and what we've heard taking place. Tell our listeners just what the gain-of-function research means. That's okay. The whole premise of always, what is the gain-of-function? What does it do? Why is it bad? How long has it been going on? Who's involved? Who are the players?
Okay. Gain-of-function research, there's actually five different kinds of gain-of-function research, and only two of them are frowned upon. Three of them are accepted by the virological community. And what it means is, when you take a virus that comes from, say, a bat, which they are focused on all the time, that bat has an ACE2 receptor on its cells that allows that virus to get into the bat, into the bat cells, hijack the replication machinery inside the cell, make perfect copies of itself, and release the virus into the environment inside the bat, some of which infect other cells, and when those cells break open, more viruses are released and so forth. And all of those cells breaking open is called the cytopathic effect, and that's what causes us to get sick when a bunch of our lung cells, for example, break open. Now, the pastor asked me to talk about my reason for being interested in this. I've written two other books also, and they're part of an 8-volume series called Sanctioned: The COVID Murders. And in those volumes, volume 1 and volume 2, I talk about lots of different things. But the most important thing I talk about is my proof and discovery that there actually was never a virus. There was never a SARS-CoV-2 virus. It was all made up, just like the other pandemics that have occurred in the 19th, in the 20th century, and the 21st, I guess. So just to get back to what happened yesterday, though, it was really amazing, but kind of predictable that he would do this, because Dr. Fauci's been a little bit of a snake in the grass this whole time. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor?
Oh, absolutely.
He hasn't been forthright with the people at all, and actually it resulted in a lot of their deaths.
Mm-hmm.
He's pushing ridiculous treatments. He supported lockdowns and all these things, which caused a lot of death. Because remember, lockdowns took away the job and the health insurance from enormous numbers of people in America and all over the world, actually. And when you lose your health insurance and your job, you don't have enough money. Like a lady that might feel a breast lump, she doesn't have enough money to go to a surgeon and be worked up for $200.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her job, too. So she doesn't have her health insurance anymore. She's got to pay cash to the doctor, and she also has to feed her children. And most women will ignore the lump and feed their children.
That's right.
And those women are dying now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the number of people who died was higher than predicted in 2021. That's one of the reasons, in 2022. Because the people started dying from breast lumps they didn't work up 2 years previously, and now they've metastasized.
Yes.
Okay. So what gain of function research is, they try to fiddle with the receptors for the virus, okay, and make it amenable so that the virus can get into other mammals. So what they did at the Wuhan Institute of Virology is they took some mice and they changed the ACE2 receptor on the mice so that instead of having a mouse ACE2 receptor so the virus could get into the mouse, they put human ACE2 receptors on the mice,
mm-hmm.
let the virus get into the mouse cells, and they wanted to see if it would cause a, quote, SARS-like illness, which is basically pneumonia.
That's right.
Okay? And that is gain-of-function research. When you're making a virus either transmit more easily or be more virulent.
Mm-hmm.
And the viruses aren't virulent unless they can get inside the cells, because that's where the replication occurs. So if you're fiddling around with the receptors and it allows the virus to get into the cell cytoplasm, it will hijack the replication machinery and make copies of itself.
Yes. The question then is a follow-up on that, Dr. Shuftall. How long has Sir Anthony Fauci been involved in this type of research?
Oh.
Did it just happen with COVID?
No.
Or is there a history to that?
There's a history to it. That's why whoever auto-penned his immunity agreement, his blanket immunity, made it go back to 2014.
Correct.
2014, because this guy's been up to no good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the question of the auto-pen to me should be investigated fully, because Biden, at the time he supposedly signed this immunity agreement, he couldn't even tie his own shoes. Right, Pastor?
That's correct.
I mean, he was so, you saw him in the debate. He couldn't put two thoughts together. So he certainly didn't know what it meant to sign an immunity agreement for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So someone in his staff did it, in my opinion, gave Dr. Fauci the immunity.
And
when someone else basically plagiarized it, you know, used the auto pen machine to sign Biden's name,
mm-hmm.
it should be null and void.
Absolutely.
And so,
and when you say someone in his staff, it would have taken, say, a lobbyist on the outside or some group with an intent of nefarious type that would then convince that staff person,
yes,
to let's do the auto-pen signature.
It could have been someone from the pharmaceutical
industry
that convinced the staff member to do the auto-pen immunity agreement.
Not just convinced,
you
but
see?
Paid the staff member to do
and
that.
And maybe paid him to do
absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
I think that is the bottom line of it. Let's jump to the point for a moment and talk about exactly some of the things Dr. Fauci did. Here's a headline. Josh Fauci, Howley, that is, destroy liar Fauci for not even answering what day of the week it is. He asked him, said, what day of the week is this? What color tie are you wearing? What color is the carpet in front of you? Speak to that for a moment,
yeah,
how Fauci responded.
I'm glad that Senator Hawley did that, because Fauci needs to be ridiculed for what he's doing. Right? He's refusing to answer questions about 15 million people that died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was involved in every aspect of this, I promise you. It's really disgraceful. The guy's gotten immunity and he won't even let people know what happened still.
Yes.
So the other thing that bothered me about it is Senator Peters, who's a Democrat from Michigan, he's the ranking member, said that COVID wasn't significant enough to hold the hearing. Did you see that at the very beginning?
Yes.
Instead, he listed Ebola, Zika, and the cruise ship Hantavirus as things that are, should be talked about instead of COVID. That is absurd. Those things didn't kill anybody.
It shows the misplacement of things that are ethical, things that are important, things that are vital to the subject.